41.
Establish emergency speed for Southeast Start Street from Southeast 109th to Southeast 162nd at the city limits to support safe travel.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you for being here from the Transportation Bureau. Many of our high crash corridors are in East Portland. Pedestrians crossing the street are dramatically less likely to survive at higher speeds. Lowering the speed limit makes a lot of sense, and that's why I support Vision Zero, and I want to thank Commissioner Saltzman in particular for bringing this forward today. Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. When it comes to speed, it is really a matter of life and death. Excessive speed contributes to more than half of the fatal and serious crashes on our streets. If we can get people to slow down, we can save lives. For example, by reducing the speed limit by just 10 miles an hour from 40 miles per hour to 30 miles per hour, the likelihood of fatality or severe injury for a person struck by a vehicle is cut in half. And that is why, along with the mayor, I have brought this proposal, this ordinance, emergency ordinance, to the city council today to use our authority to reduce the speed limit on outer Southeast Stark Street from 35 miles per hour, which it is currently, to 30 miles per hour. Did I get that right? It is 35?
Yes. Okay.
So already this year, two people have died in traffic crashes on outer Southeast Stark. A 53-year-old woman died while walking on Stark at 148th Avenue. A 34-year-old man died while driving on Stark at 122nd Avenue. One of the fundamental principles of Vision Zero is that traffic deaths are not just inevitable. We can do something about them. We can reduce them, and we can get them to zero, and that is our goal. So today we do have an opportunity to take a big step in that direction by taking an emergency ordinance to reduce the speed on Southeast Stark to 30 miles per hour from 109th Avenue to the Gresham city limit, or 162nd Avenue. So I want to thank the community members, some of whom are here today, who have advanced their concerns about safety on Stark Street and have asked us to take this action. Today's ordinance, as I said, will allow us to immediately reduce the speed limit on outer Southeast Stark, which I believe will help prevent more people from getting killed or seriously injured in crashes on this street. Director Leah Treat will give us a few remarks on this, also joined by Catherine Charlo, who leads PBOT's Active Transportation and Safety Division. And we're also very pleased to have Traffic Division Captain Mike Krebs here, and they will talk, and then we'll invite two invited testimony, and then turn it over to council for questions.
Yes. Great. Thank Director you, Commissioner Treat. Saltzman, Mayor, Commissioners. As Commissioner Saltzman noted, the ordinance before you today will allow us to reduce the speed limit on Outer Stark from 35 miles an hour to 30 miles an hour. And the ordinance is necessary because we do not have the authority to reduce the speed limits on our streets in the city. It is under ODOT's purview, so we can reduce speed limits through an emergency ordinance for up to 120 days. So that's what we're trying to do today, and then we'll be at the same time submitting a speed reduction request to ODOT so we can have it permanently reduced. This is very similar to the process that we came to you last year with Outer Division to reduce the speed limit, and we're going to be doing the same thing that we did on Outer Division and backing up this movement by installing speed safety cameras. Those will come online a little bit later, but we have found that when we reduce the speed limit and have it backed up by an enforcement effort, it's way more effective than just posting signs alone. So this is also following along on our Struck campaign that we just launched last week. I hope you all have had a chance to see it, but we're very hopeful that the media outreach campaign is going to have an impact on drivers' behavior as well. And as I've mentioned to you all many times, there's three things that we need to be effective in these efforts, and it's education, engineering, and enforcement. Those three things are the trifecta that help us get to the impact that we are trying to achieve. So those are the approaches that we are taking. And also, it's important to note that we're also going to be doing some crossing improvements on Outer Stark this summer that I think will help as well. So three crossings at 146th, 151st, and 160th Avenues. And finally, we've also started work on a safety redesign of Outer Stark. We'll begin that process with deep community engagement and feedback about what design outcomes they want moving forward. So thank you all for your commitment to this effort, and I'm going to turn it over to Catherine to walk you through some of the details.
Great. Mayor, Commissioners, thank you very much for having us here, Commissioner Saltzman. For bringing this. I just have a few slides to give a little more detail to what Director Treat talked about. Let's see if I can advance the slides. First, the proposed ordinance, it sets an emergency 30-mile-per-hour speed limit from 109th to 162nd. We will accompany that with the installation of signs, 15 signs showing the lower speed limit. And we will also, as Director Treat said, install speed cameras in two locations to help bring those speeds down. And that's important because when we go back to ODOT at the end of the emergency period, we do want the speeds to be at a level that we can hopefully get a permanent reduction in the speed. And just, you've seen this graphic before. Slowing people down saves lives. What this graphic shows is the dramatic difference in fatalities when a pedestrian is hit by a car moving at 20 miles an hour versus moving at 40 miles an hour. But as the commissioner mentioned earlier, even this 5-mile-an-hour differential has really significant impacts on the reduction in fatalities. Research that AAA did tells us that a pedestrian hit by a driver at 35 miles per hour is nearly 50% more likely to die than a pedestrian hit at 30 miles per hour. So that's what we're up to, especially in light of a pattern of fatalities and recent fatalities on Outer Stark. Why now? I think we've heard from the community, and we'll hear more, and we've heard from the commissioner and the director. The time is definitely ripe to address this and other major roadways in East Portland that are really presenting safety hazards in the community. Outer Stark is one of our most dangerous streets for all modes. It's our sixth worst street for driving. It's our sixth worst street for walking, and it's our ninth worst street for bicycling in the city. And we've heard clearly from the community that they would like to see this addressed, and this is an important step we can take to do that. Director Treat talked about the multitude of tools that we can bring to bear to try to improve safety, but specific to speed, we are currently pursuing speed and red light cameras on Stark at 127th or 148th Avenue. This is in addition to four sets or in concert with four sets statewide. And data shows us that they're effective. We've been collecting data at each of these locations, and we do see speed reductions as a result of these camera installations. You've seen this slide too, the Vision Zero Action Plan. Thank you all for your support of it over the last year. In relation to lowering speeds, there's three related actions we're going to talk about or we're working on here. One is the installation of the speed safety cameras. One is lowering posted speeds, both as this emergency and then permanent, hopefully lowering over time. And then, as Director Treat talked about, we do need and intend to improve street design to support the lower speeds and improve safety. This is just a quick look at some of the challenges with design on Stark Street. There's no center medians. There's long gaps between crosswalks. There's no specially enhanced lighting, and we're seeing a lot of fatalities so far this year happen in dark conditions. There's exposed bus stops without much protection from traffic, and there's no bike lanes. So there's a lot to improve. In terms of tools that help actually reduce speed, we're looking, as Director Treat said, at enhanced crossings this year at 146th, 151st, 155th, and 160th. And then we're in a planning process for more improvements in which we'll engage the community to inform those improvements. That should be wrapped up by 2019, and hopefully those improvements will go in 2020 and 2021. And we use this graphic here as kind of a conceptual graphic showing some of the ways you can improve streets to slow speeds. These aren't specific plans for Outer Stark at this point, but there's some ideas. There's street trees, there's improved crossings, there's medians, there can be ways to narrow the travel lanes. And we'll be working with the community on those specifics. And then the last thing we wanted to do, hopefully we can make this work, I may need a little tech support here, is share just our quick Struck PSA. As Director Treat explained, this is in concert with our enforcement, our automated enforcement and our physical improvements, this concept of citywide education to really help change the culture in the city and help people understand how critical it is to slow down and as a part of saving lives and really keeping the life of the driver from changing permanently as well. So let's see if I can do this.
Don't take it personally.
I know. I was warned. I don't know. I think we'll have to just... You can see this on the PBOT website. If you just go to the front page of the website, you can click on it and you can see it. It's a 30-second spot. It's quite powerful, and we've gotten quite a bit of response to it from the community, mostly positive, with a few people, having some questions for us.
So. Well, thanks, Catherine. Captain Krebs.
Yeah. Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Mike Krebs. I'm the captain of our traffic division, and this is the absolute right thing to do. This is my job, my number one job of the traffic division is to help save lives and improve quality of life. And this reduction in speed is going to have a big difference out on Stark Street. Right now, if you're traveling 35 miles an hour, it takes you 96 feet to stop. From the time you see a hazard to the time you apply the brakes, to the time you skid and come to a stop, it's 96 feet. At 30 miles an hour, it's 74 feet. That's 22 feet where someone's possibly not going to get hit. I talked about this before. So you see the insurance commercial, a car's going down the street, they collide with somebody, then you back it up. And if you slow them down, the crash will never occur. The brakes will be slammed on. The person will be scared. They'll take a deep breath, and they'll walk away, and no one's injured. And this is, I think it's essential for the city and for PBOT and the police bureau to make this happen. One of the things I'll commit to is to make sure we have photo radar out there during this 120 days. Make sure we do missions out. We have Vision Zero missions. We run it throughout the city, and we'll make this a priority. One thing that I think is important too is that, before I came to the traffic division, I had not known much about PBOT, but since I've been here and working with those folks, they are some of the most committed public servants I've ever seen, and they are truly committed to achieving the goals of Vision Zero. And I look forward, and maybe 50 years from now, we look back and we're going to see in this time. The Vision Zero was the absolute right thing to do. And so maybe one day my grandkids or my great-grandkids will actually see the Vision Zero. And they'll know that in 2016, when this came forward, you're going to see that that's how this whole thing changed. And now isn't it wonderful, kids, that no one's dying on our streets, that we can actually walk downtown or walk out on Stark and not be worried about getting hit by a car. And I think that, for me anyway, as a public servant, this is cool stuff. And I'm hoping you folks will do the right thing and let us reduce this from 35 to 30 and potentially save a life or even the quality of life. One of the things we talk about is fatalities. We've had 10 so far this year. But there are numerous others who no longer can work. They can no longer take care of themselves because of these crashes. So that's probably one of the most important things to me is that we can change people's lives by doing this. And we may never know what it is. We'll never know. Maybe 10 years from now, wonder how many folks, you know, were not in a collision because we reduced it by 5 miles an hour. So I thank you folks who do the right thing, and I appreciate your support.
Thank you very much.
Thank
Captain.
You.
Commissioner Udaly. I have a couple of questions.
Commissioner Udaly and then Commissioner Fish. Commissioner Udaly.
Well, thank you, and I definitely support this effort. I want to make a couple comments. Just I've been following the 20 is plenty, or kind of public response to 20 is plenty in Vision Zero, and I really think we cannot underestimate the importance of community outreach because there's still a lot of confusion in the community about 20 is plenty and Vision Zero. 20 is plenty seems self-explanatory, but it's not, apparently. Vision Zero is a little more obtuse, and I don't think we can assume that the broader community is aware of or understands that Vision Zero is actually an international movement to reduce and eliminate traffic fatalities. So I just want to encourage as much outreach as possible. And I also really appreciated that slide that shows injuries and death at 20, 30, 40, because I think for a lot of people, 5 miles an hour just sounds like no big deal. When I was taught how to drive at 17 by a driving instructor, he told me that I could drive 5 miles over the speed limit anywhere I go and not get pulled over and ticketed. And so I think that's also an important aspect of this to explain. 20 may seem really slow to some people. Frankly, it feels very slow on Ainsworth, which has a dividing boulevard, if not a line. But given that many people will be driving 5 miles over the speed limit, I think 20 is plenty. So thank you.
Thank you for the feedback. We'll work on that. Thank you.
I'm doing my best. One person... education campaign, but
Commissioner Fish.
You know, I was at a forum the other day, and they presented some data, and 50% of the public doesn't get its information from traditional media anymore, and only 25% read papers. So the challenges of getting information out, including branding, is enormous. I will say that I was at the Montevilla Neighborhood Association the other night, and they had the 20 mile an hour sign right at the dais. So they had put it up in a very visible place, and I thought that was great. You know, I'm a strong supporter of Vision Zero, and I, since Catherine's here, I have a few questions, and could I just ask that you send me a follow-up email? So can you give me the cheat sheet on your ask in the budget for Vision Zero, and how much of that would benefit East Portland, directly or indirectly?
Yes, we can.
Number two, I've learned a few things in some forums I've attended recently that were very sobering, including the fact that 15 of our 30 high-crash corridors intersect East Portland, and we've got three or four of the deadliest intersections in the state, just on Powell. So could I get an update on our efforts to get ODOT to bring Powell and 82nd to city standards and then transfer them to the city so that we can maintain them? I know we all sent a letter recently not to ODOT, but to the body that oversees ODOT, complaining vigorously that that the improvements we're seeking on 82nd didn't make a five-year planning horizon, which is just totally unacceptable. So can I get a sense of what the timeline is optimistically for getting those roads transferred to us? Congratulations to your team and our friends in the legislature for getting the $110 million for outer Powell improvements. I'd like to know a little bit more about what those dollars will actually translate into, what kind of safety improvements, and so I have a better sense in the next legislative session of, you know, what we're asking for and why.
Okay.
And then it's interesting. There's a debate in our community about enforcement, and you know this. And it's where enforcement and equity intersect. Now, I can tell you, because I've been out at a lot of forums wearing another hat, candidate, there's a tremendous appetite in East Portland to see this law enforced. But we're also hearing from advocates that they're concerned about it not being enforced in a way that is discriminatory.
Right.
We've had a discussion about that earlier today. There is obviously a lot of work to do to get people to slow down because, frankly, until people really feel the pain in their wallet or, you know, are pulled over there's some shaming, I think a lot of people are going to continue to speed and despite our best intentions. So I would like to see vigorous enforcement, but I guess my question is, are you also collecting comprehensive data about who we're enforcing so that we can evaluate whether or not any disparate impacts are revealed from the data? Captain?
I can respond if you like, sir. I think that's a great question. It's something that's near and dear to my heart. I pay very close attention to the stops data. I just barely gave a presentation at the Vision Zero committee meeting on our stops data. And traffic stops data is consistent with the crash injury rate. We measure the injury rate and the people involved in crashes, and we're very close. Our stops are very close and consistent with how people's driving behavior. And it's each time I get the new quarterly updates on stops data, I look close at those kind of things. And my folks know that equity is important to me. And so far, my officers are doing a really good job of, we are stopping the people that are driving recklessly or dangerously. Usually with LIDAR, we use a LIDAR gun, they're coming at us. So we're not looking for the occupant per se, we're looking at the behavior of the car and the driver.
We have, I guess, the benefit of knowing where the high crash corridors are, where the most dangerous intersections are, and we can do, you know, blanket enforcement in those intersections. And I appreciate, particularly in light of the presentation earlier today, that people will be looking very closely at who we pull over and who we enforce the law against. But I'm also hearing from the community out in East Portland that they want this law enforced, and they want people to slow down. And it's going to take time because a lot of people haven't gotten the message yet, both on our residential streets now with the 20-mile-an-hour and certainly in places like Powell, Stark, and 82nd. But I appreciate Commissioner Saltzman bringing this forward. I will wholeheartedly support it, and I hope we can get some further legislative approval, Commissioner, down the road to have more authority to regulate these streets for longer than 120 days. Okay. So thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, that concludes our presentation. We invited Kim Marks and Joanna Molina from the Rosewood. Oh, there they are.
Thank you.
So that's our one invited panel, and then we'll open it to any other public testimony.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I've prepared a few written remarks, and then I want to go extreme just off my remarks to address something that Commissioner Fish just touched on. My name is Kim Marks, and I am the Director of Transportation Equity at Rosewood Initiative. I am here today to speak to you about the ordinance to reduce the speed limit on Outer Stark Street from 35 to 30 miles per hour. I want to start by thanking you for bringing the ordinance forward and tell you how appreciative the community is. I also want to give special thanks to Commissioner Saltzman, his staff, and the staff of PBOT for their responsiveness when we brought this request to them. As you know, Outer Stark Street is one of Portland's 30-plus high crash corridors. In fact, it's one of the top 10 since November 2016 when I started at Rosewood Initiative. Two drivers of vehicles and four pedestrians have died from crashes between 122nd Avenue and 162nd Avenue. I myself have almost been hit on numerous occasions attempting to cross Stark Street. Outer Stark is primarily a residential street with a large concentration of multifamily housing complexes and more on the way. Without this ordinance, the chance of more deaths is a near certainty, which will only become more so as the population along Stark increases. I do want to point out this ordinance is the first step towards making Stark a safer place to live. Another necessary step was the passage of the $10 million for Outer Stark in the Build Portland budget. But only if we make this an opportunity to redesign Outer Stark. I would also note that just paving it will actually invite more people to violate the speed limit and not let it be just another paving project. Another important step will be the proper funding of the Outer Stark safety project. We all can make Outer Stark a safer place, a safer and inviting place for the community. I, Rosewood Initiative, and the Rosewood community stand ready to work with you and PBOT to make Outer Stark an example of how we get to Vision Zero. Now to address the questions that or points that Commissioner Fish raised. Yes, we want enforcement. We are concerned about how that enforcement is conducted, which is one of the reasons we are very supportive of technologies like speed and red light cameras, which take the potential for unknown bias or bias that police officers are not necessarily aware of. The other thing that I'd like to point out is for too long we've relied on education and enforcement, and that's one of the reasons why we believe that design needs to take a much bigger, be a much bigger part of the discussion. People are going to speed. People are going to do stupid things, but those abilities or those behaviors will be reduced if the design of the street does not invite those behaviors. Wide streets with long intervals of nothing to slow them down or to stop them. Those are the things that will, addressing those are the things that will actually be the biggest tool in the toolbox, as people like to say, to reducing deaths and serious injuries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Buenos días a todos. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for the opportunity to be here and speak up my talk. I think you guys need to hear from somebody who lives in that neighborhood, and that's me. I really want to thank you, to thank everybody who's behind this emergency ordinance, because with this ordinance, you guys give the opportunity to mothers to go back to their sons at home, and to sons to go back to their mothers at home. 5 miles, maybe it's not a big deal for everybody, but it does. It makes a huge difference on people's life, on the people that we live there. Maybe a lot of people found ridiculous for me to drive my car to work. I just live across front of my job, 5 minutes walking. But after almost being killed many, many times in 160, so I decide that I don't found ridiculous. I found safety to drive my car to work just 5 minutes walking, because I want to go back to my house with my kids. So I want you guys to keep that in mind at the time to put in place this emergency ordinance. The last time I was crossing 116, it's a signal crossing. I wait in the middle, and I almost get hit. The car touched my clothes, and I stopped to check out if I was fine. I was scared, but I can bet you that the guy who was driving the car was scared too, since he stopped just maybe 30, 40 feet up front. But again, 5 miles is not a big deal, but it will make a huge difference in my life and in the life of everybody who lives in that neighborhood. So thank you, and I hope you guys think in other places that have the same issues has 129 in 160 seconds and take actions immediately. So thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. We appreciate your being here. Is there any further public testimony?
Yes, we have five people signed up.
Very good.
Thank you.
The first three, please come on up, are Terry Parker, Robert West, and Nathan Clark.
Good morning, Mr. Parker. Would you start us off, please?
Terry Parker, Northeast Portland. Bicyclists not stopping at stop signs. Pedestrians ignoring walk, don't walk signals. Bicyclists not stopping for pedestrians in crosswalks. Pedestrians not looking both directions before stepping into the street. Bicyclists ignoring traffic signals and other traffic control devices. Pedestrians crossing thoroughfares mid-block just a few feet from a crosswalk. Bicycles riding against traffic on the wrong side of the street. These are just a few of the bicyclist and pedestrian infractions I observe every time I am out and about. Failing to look at the entire picture, all that comes from PBOT is profiling drivers and making it more difficult for them to get around. Road diets, slower speeds, and increased densities all add up to more congestion. More congestion means engines are idling more and running longer, thereby increasing fuel consumption and emissions. With PBOT creating more congestion, linking up motor vehicles with air quality issues must be fake news. Similar to congestion being self-inflicted by reducing instead of increasing motor vehicle capacity, many of the hazards of biking and walking are self-inflicted, in part due to the culture this city has created. Some of it is defined in the comp plan, which includes a discriminatory hierarchy mode hierarchy. With no enforcement, along with the city's obvious bias car-hater mindset, bicyclists and pedestrians have been given carte blanche to ignore both the rules and common sense. Equity is absent. With the housing emergency, the current policy is to build a way out of it with density. The reality is, with more housing comes more cars and a need for more room for cars, which includes off-street parking to store them when not in use. Without more places for cars, more conflicts will occur and more people will be hurt. One of the failures of the political oratory and agenda is not initiating a discussion connecting population growth with homelessness, poverty, climate change, sustainability, and yes, congestion and Vision Zero. For everybody's health and safety, a continuing conversation needs to take a place about how to start managing population growth, preferably with the public voluntarily accepting smaller families. Yesterday, I drove on eastbound Stark Street from Mall 205 to 162nd, heading towards one of my out-and-about destinations. Watching my speedometer while I was keeping up with moderate traffic flow, my average speed was about 32 miles an hour. I view this speed change as a feel-good, do-little way that, for the most part, fritters away transportation dollars that could increase cut-through traffic on residential streets. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Okay, one thing I'm going to talk about is an experience that I had last night. About 11:30, I was going down Stark Street over there by that park where there's like no lights. There's a situation where five people almost became bumper trash, and what happened was they decided to run across the street in dark clothes, in front of traffic. I had to slam on my brakes and throw my brights on so the car next to me could see there was actually pedestrians crossing, so they didn't run right over the pedestrians. I see continuously pedestrians violating the law up and down Stark Street. You're sitting there saying, "Well, let's hit the cars for the pedestrians not doing what they need to do." Okay, you learn when you're a little kid, you look both ways before you cross. Okay, when you get older, you should be able to know, "Hey, that I can't cross because this car's coming down the street. I'll wait till this car is done past me, and then I can cross." Okay, pedestrians aren't learning that. They're learning that, hey, if I step out and I get hit, someone's insurance company's going to pay me. And this is wrong. Reducing the speed limit is wrong. It's just another way for the city to make money. They're talking, oh, we'll put up red light cameras. I hear continuously the city sits there and says, well, we don't get any money for our tickets that we write. The state gets it. Okay, but we have a contract with this company to set up these red light cameras and speed cameras and stuff like that. Who is paying for this contract for this company to do this? Okay, if the city of Portland's not getting no money from its tickets, then where's that money coming from? The state's probably not paying for it. That means the city's paying for it. Why are we paying for something that we're not getting anything back on? It just boggles my mind. You guys just want to throw money away. Hey, here's a problem. We'll just throw money away. We'll reduce speed. You've reduced speed on a number of places. I heard on the scanner the police didn't want to pursue a car that was going 100 miles an hour up Airport Way. Now, I can't think of any more dangerous situation than a car going 100 miles an hour up Airport Way with all the shuttles and buses and people going to the airport and stuff like that. Makes the city look really good when we can't pursue those people. I've also heard several times that the police decided not to pursue a stolen car because it was going 35 miles an hour down side streets, which made people in the car that I'm riding with laugh. You know, so, and as far as Stark and Division and stuff, I see cops speeding all the time up and down that street. Are you going to tell them they got to follow the 30-mile-an-hour rule unless they're going to emergencies? They crash, too. So I want you to think about that.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today to read Multnomah County Commissioner Lori Stigman's testimony regarding the speed limit reduction on Southeast Stark. My name is Nathan Clark. I'm a policy advisor for Commissioner Stigman. And although, unfortunately, she's unable to be here today as she had a prior commitment, she wanted to make sure you knew how much she appreciates the policy work you are doing to reduce traffic fatalities and improve safety on high crash corridors. Her letter is as follows. Mayor Wheeler and commissioners, thank you for considering this life-saving ordinance. And a special thank you to Commissioner Saltzman for bringing forth this important issue. I represent District 4, East Multnomah County, which begins at approximately East 148th in Portland and extends all the way to Bonneville Dam. While I have just a small portion of East Portland in my district, this ordinance, if passed, will have a big impact on the safety of our community members. Since the beginning of 2016, there have been 99 traffic deaths in Portland. 11 have been in my district, and 3 of those were on Stark. One of the recent deaths on this section of the street was of a woman who was trying to cross safely in a designated crosswalk but was struck by a vehicle. As residents have been pushed east in an effort to find more affordable housing, many folks are transit dependent, and even though this area and our infrastructure is much more accessible by car. As you travel further east, our arterials change to 4 lanes, marked crosswalks become less frequent, and many residents walk along roadways to access transit, work, and school. All of these community members deserve to safely travel to their jobs, their schools, and their places of worship. Lowering the speed limit on Stark Street from 35 miles per hour to 30 miles per hour will undoubtedly save lives. Thank you for the opportunity to submit my testimony. I look forward to our continued partnership with the City of Portland to ensure an active transportation plan that is safe for pedestrians, bicyclists, and motorists. Commissioner Lori Stigman, District 4, Multnomah County, Chair of the East Multnomah County Transportation Committee. And as someone who grew up near 162nd since I was 6, and my family still lives there, I appreciate these efforts to make it safe for all of our community members. Thank you.
Thanks, all three of you.
Thank you for being here.
The last two are Dan Handelman and Mary Sipe.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Dan Handelman with Portland Cop Watch. We don't have a position on speed limits themselves, but as Commissioner Fish pointed out, and the Oregonian, to our surprise, the reduction of speed limits can lead to racial profiling. There was not an answer from Captain Krebs about whether or not there's going to be specific data kept on the enforcement in this new corridor, which is, the question that Commissioner Fisher was trying to get at. And, of course, there's been a diaspora of the African-American community to that area of the city, so it's possible there are more African-Americans in that area, but one can compare that population to the number of people being pulled over. Commissioner Fish also referenced the report you heard earlier, and in that report, the gang enforcement team said they will follow a person until they commit a violation, because they'll do it if you follow them long enough, which is very serious violation of rights, because that means they were not following them with any reasonable suspicion in the first place. Certainly hope that's not going to be happening in this new corridor. There was also discussion about the new stop data, which, again, we're encouraging you to collect for this. The stop data, if it comes back from the state and it's inadequate for the needs of the city, we certainly hope that the city will add things to that template that will meet the needs of the people of Portland, so we're not only depending on what the state says we have to collect. And then in terms of mere conversations, the report also said that the GET did 1,300 stops and 500 were keyed in as mere conversations. And again, in this corridor, if you're going to be having admissions, you know, want to take a look at how many times people are just let go with just a verbal warning if your goal is to reduce traffic crashes and such. I've managed to reference a few times the report that you were able to hear earlier. This is the second time in 3 months that a report came forward about police that the mayor refused to take oral testimony on during the presence of the report being presented in public. I can spend an hour trying to write up commentary, or I can come up here and talk for 3 minutes and respond to what I've heard in City Council. I think the second is more effective, because I don't think everybody reads it when I send in commentary from Portland Cop Watch. The mayor's staff, I emailed on Friday to see if there would be an exception to the report, no report rule. I did not hear back from them. I called again yesterday afternoon just to see, and it's just not getting a report back. So I feel like when you're having these important discussions around police issues, you know, are important to the community, it really would be a good idea, if we're doing community policing, to let the community speak and have input about them.
Very good. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Mary Seip. I just want to kind of piggyback on your comments about not taking testimony on reports, and would just like to encourage you to be more flexible in that regard. That said, I'm really concerned about some of the comments I just heard. 5 miles an hour, it's no big deal. A dead child is a big deal. And to hear people put the onus on the pedestrian and how irresponsible the pedestrian is, it blows my mind. I'd like to ask Mr. Parker and Mr. West if a distracted child were to run out in front of their car, and the chances of that child being seriously injured or killed was reduced greatly because you are now going only 30 miles an hour, wouldn't you support this reduction? What it says to me is, my goodness, I just avoided killing somebody's child because I'm driving 5 miles less per hour. You know, it's just a no-brainer to me, and I just had to say that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's all who signed up.
Very good. Please call the roll.
Fish.
Commissioner Saltzman, thank you for bringing this forward. Thanks to the community for advocating loudly for this change. I want to acknowledge that when Leah Treat was hired, one of the credentials she brought with her is that she had been a national leader in this Vision Zero movement and has put us on the path to doing some important things. And as we debate the tough budget choices ahead, I would like to make sure that we're prioritizing investments in street and sidewalk safety, particularly in East Portland. It is going to take a culture change. I'm a candidate for re-election right now, so I'm going all over the city, and I can tell you that on the residential streets that we're marking as 20, people are not doing 20 miles an hour. And what people are doing is getting frustrated and then gunning it to get to the stop sign 5 seconds ahead of me and putting people at risk. And so we're gonna it's going to require a culture change. It's going to – I think the point is very well taken that ultimately we're going to have to invest in design changes because design is an important point. But enforcement has to be part of it as well. And people have to know their consequences and they're going to be held accountable. I appreciate this action. And I hope at some point, Dan, that we reclaim our authority as a local jurisdiction to regulate these streets without doing it just on an emergency basis. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I also want to thank Director Treat and the Bureau of Transportation for all of their work on making a more balanced transportation system for the city of Portland, but with special emphasis on Vision Zero and to really reduce the number of fatalities and severe injuries that are occurring in our city at too frequent of a rate these days. I want to thank the Rosewood Initiative for being here today and for coming to meet with me a few months ago about this emergency speed reduction, which is before us today. I want to thank Captain Krebs and the Traffic Division for the great work that they're doing to keep people safe and alive. And finally, I just want to thank Shayna Hobbs in my office who shepherded this process, brought this all forward, and brought it to culmination today. And I do believe that we can really, as I said in my opening remarks, a small reduction in speed can produce dramatic increases in a person's safety if they are struck or struck by an automobile. And it's a step well worth taking, in my opinion, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
You daily.
Well, thank you, Commissioner Saltzman and Director Treat, for bringing us this before us today. And thank you, Ms. Sipes, for your remarks. I also share your disappointment in some of the testimony that was given today. We were asked, why are we paying for something we're not getting anything back on? 50 people died in traffic fatalities in the city of Portland last year. And if we can reduce that number by one or more, I would say it's well worth the investment. Traffic fatalities have been declining since the 1970s until recently, and now we're seeing an increase. And we're seeing an increase because there's more people on the road and because there's more competition for a variety of uses of roads between vehicles, pedestrians, and cyclists. It's a false assumption to say or that these accidents are being caused by cyclists and pedestrians who are not obeying traffic laws. Sometimes they are, sometimes they aren't. Sometimes neither party is at fault, and it's a poorly designed road. Regardless, I don't think it's any consolation to families who lose loved ones or people who are grievously injured in traffic accidents that it was their fault. It's our job to preserve and improve public safety, and this is a step towards it. I would like to mention again that Vision Zero is an international movement to reduce and eliminate traffic fatalities. It is supported by the World Health Organization. Sweden, I think, was one of the first countries to implement these policies and, in fact, have the safest roads in the world. So there you have it. I vote aye.
Fritz.
Thank you, Commissioner Saltzman, Director Treat, Catherine Charlo, for your work on this. I was struck by Commissioner Udaly's comments about her driver ed class, and I think many of us in the past have had the frame of, I won't get caught if I'm going 5 miles an hour earlier, I mean over the speed limit. As Commissioner Fish said, I think we need to recreate a new culture. And I'm thinking back to 25 years ago when the culture of Portland was not to pick up after your dog. And I live on a corner lot with a utility pole, and I had to do a sweep before I'd let my children play outside because there was so much dog deposits in the yard. I don't remember now the last time that I have picked up something from my yard. And we have changed the culture. Owners proudly carry along their little baggie and doing their civic duty. And that's what this gets down to me, is creating a new culture. We're never going to be able to enforce enough to be able to make people behave. We want people, we're going to need to want people to behave and explain to them why. And I've explained to my children that the reason that there are speed limits, particularly in neighborhood streets, is because that's the safe limit for how fast you should be going. I also have, since being in office, I've mentioned that if they get stopped and Willamette Week gets a hold of it, that is not going to reflect well on me, so would they please just keep that in mind as well? You try everything that might possibly register. I love the 20 is Plenty campaign. Thank you, Mary Sipe, for noting that we each have a reader board within our car. I have been watching my speedometer on my neighborhood street and doing 20 instead of 25. I was previously watching it very carefully and doing 25. I find I arrive at the arterial more relaxed. I find that I am more aware of my surroundings, and it's just generally a better way of doing things. And so I encourage people to do this for the right reasons. I actually wiki-rhymed to see what a good slogan for 30 would be. I'm hampered that I have a TY at the end rather than a DY, so I can't find anything that actually rhymes in both American and English. But certainly 20 is Plenty is a really good tagline that we need to help people get out. I am very, very satisfied that we were able to dedicate almost half of the cannabis tax money, recreational tax money, on Vision Zero, and I will continue to support that allocation as an ongoing funding. We do have a shared responsibility, though. I do differ a little bit from some of the testimony. I gave my kids flashlights. Actually, Mrs. Santa gave the kids flashlights. They're now like 20 and 30, in their 20s and 30s, but still. So they're wandering around by themselves in downtown Portland and elsewhere. I carry a flashlight in my bag, and when I'm a pedestrian, if it's at night, I've got my flashlight going. And I find that cars tend to stop for me to allow me to cross the street because I flash the flashlight in their face and they know that they're supposed to. So again, it's about a culture change. And I hope that we will all do that. Take this to heart, both as pedestrians, as cyclists, as drivers. We share the road and we need to figure out how to share the road in a safe manner. I did do a quick calculation here. It's 2.7 miles from 109th to 162nd on Stark. And at 35 miles an hour versus 30 miles an hour, the difference in travel time is less than a minute. So again, when you're feeling like you want to push it, that you're late, whatever, you're going to get at the most a minute. And as Commissioner Fish said, you may hit the lights wrong anyway. Many of the lights are set at the appropriate, so that when you go the appropriate speed, you don't get stopped at every single one. These are all common sense things that we can take responsibility together for being safe. And I also like to say I have never looked forward more to the Rose Festival presentation, which is coming up next, so that we can move on from this topic, which, of course, is dear to my heart. Aye.
Wheeler?
So thanks, Commissioner Saltzman, for bringing this forward. And you brought what I'll call a companion package forward early in the year. I strongly support this. I think this is great policy. I'm sorry we can only do it on a limited duration basis, but I'm sure with Dan's great work in government relations and this council, we'll all work together to have more permanent and resilient solutions. Education, enforcement, and engineering are the three major categories of tools that we have at our disposal. This is obviously addressing one portion of those tools. I'm really energized by the community engagement piece on looking at a larger engineering strategy as well. I think that's exciting, and so I'm strongly supportive of this. I do want to quickly respond to what Dan Handelman had said with regard to reports. And you know, I've been on all sides of this question of public testimony on reports, and I ultimately came down the way I did with regard to reports in that they are very specific, particularly with regard to audit reports. And as you heard, audit reports used to be published. They used to have a response attached. They'd go out, and people could either pick them up or not pick them up. Now, of course, people have the opportunity to hear the auditors who are actually engaged in the process. The council has the opportunity to ask questions of the auditors who conducted their audit, and opportunity exists for the bureaus to be able to respond to the audit. Audits have very specific scopes of investigation, and the responses given by the bureaus are very specific responses to the issues and the findings of that audit. And as such, it is a very prescribed process. And I think one of the most effective aspects of audit reports is they are so specific. They drill in like a laser beam on issues of great importance. And I want audit reports to maintain that focus as they are brought forward, and I want people to be in a position to respond very specifically to those issues. More generally speaking, with regard to reports, it's obviously at discretion of the council, but we typically ask a group or an organization or an entity to go forth, and by legislative requirement, they do something and they come back and they report what they are required through legislative requirements to report. So these are very, very different than people coming up and talking about police issues or talking about the police budget or alternative uses of resources. It's really supposed to focus on the issue at hand. That's the point of the audit report. So I just, Dan, wanted to give you my perspective on that. I see you not agreeing, and that's fair. I have no monopoly on the truth, but I wanted to give you my reasoning for the decisions that I make, and I will not speak for the rest of the council. I vote aye. Well done. Ordinance is adopted. Next item.